First of all, I want to encourage you to be back tonight. We'll be looking at Cain and what happened to Cain after the murder of Abel, and some very, faith-building lessons will come about from that. Also, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to be starting a new series of lessons as well about women of the Bible. And I think there will be some tremendous lessons there for us as well. This morning's lesson is simply called The Challenge of Poverty and Wealth. The Challenge of Poverty and Wealth. I want to begin by reading about something that happened a number of years ago with some men who certainly had a lot of wealth. This was a meeting in 1923 of a group of business tycoons. Together, these men controlled unthinkable sums of wealth. And for years, the media had trumpeted their success stories. On this day in Chicago, they assembled to enjoy their mutual success. The writer, who was a historian, relays what happened to these men in the years that followed. Charles Schwab, and you probably know about his investment firm today, the president of the largest independent steel company at that time, lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life and died penniless. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, served time in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall, a former member of the president's cabinet, was pardoned from prison so he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear on Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of the Bank of International Settlement, committed suicide. And Ivan Kruger, head of the world's greatest monopoly, committed suicide. The success they celebrated proved illusory. And it certainly did. When you think about those men and what happened to them, you realize that for them, wealth was a challenge. But as we read from James, we'll see that poverty, as well as wealth, can be a tremendous challenge. Our text today, if you've been following along the past couple of weeks, comes from James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I hope you have your Bible so you can open them and follow along. Because James describes two different individuals and the struggles that they have. James chapter 1, verse 9, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Here are two individuals. Notice they're both brothers in Christ, though. We're not just talking about any individual here. We're talking about brothers. We're talking about people who have named the name of Christ. We're talking about people who've experienced the new birth, who have been forgiven of their sins, who have entered the kingdom. These are people who meet every week and partake of the Lord's Supper. That's the people James is talking about in verses 9 through 11. And in that group are two different types. There are more than two, but he addresses two here. The lowly brother and the rich brother. So here we're talking about individuals' wealth or lack of it. The first one, remember, first of all, James has just finished talking about trials. That's what we talked about last week. Trials in life, difficulties, hardships in life, and what they can do for us if we allow them to. James said that trials have the power or the ability to produce patience and produce faith and produce perseverance. That's what hardships can do. So now he addresses two types of hardships. poverty and wealth. James says both of them can be seen as hardships, can be seen as struggles. And of course, especially that's true if one goes from poverty to riches or from riches to poverty. You know, that sudden change in your standing can bring with it a great deal of difficulties as well. But James tells us that following Christ, following the gospel, can help us in either situation, poor or rich. It can help us cope. So he says, the lowly brother, one who has been brought to a humble position, brought low, he's poor. Due to external circumstances, though, this is not being addressed to someone who's lost his money gambling. This is not addressed to a brother who has spent his money on drugs or alcohol or anything else. That's not the lowly brother he's talking about. This is someone who has been humbled or is in humble circumstances through no fault of his own. It was beyond his control. But a lack of money can bring a lot of temptations to people's way. They can be tempted to steal, be tempted to be dishonest in dealings, can be tempted to take a job that's sinful just so that it can make money for them. So poverty can have difficulties and hardships with it. They can, that state, that condition can cause some people to make very bad decisions. But God knows what we need. The one who is humble needs to be what? Well, the Bible says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. The lowly, the humble, the one who trusts in God will be exalted. The prophet Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah chapter 9, addresses this in a very powerful way. I hope you have your Bibles, can turn back to Jeremiah chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says this. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this. This is what someone should glory about, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Here's what the humble man, the lowly man, the poor man can glory in, if he understands and knows God. That's something to glory in. Not glorying in riches or the lack of them, but glorying in that he understands and knows God. Proverbs 3:34 says, to the humble, God gives favor. That's what Solomon wrote. Psalm 18:27 says, God saves a humble people. The Bible also says, will be exalted. And in what way? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're what? We're a spiritual house. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with how much money I have. Not a thing. The lowly man, the humble man, the poor man can be exalted, can experience glory because he's part of a spiritual house, the spiritual kingdom. He's a priest. The lowliest of lowly can glory in that he's a priest. And that has nothing to do with how much wealth you have, how many possessions you have, how rich you are, or anything else. It's, do you understand God and do you know Him? Romans chapter 8 says something very similar. Romans chapter 8, notice verses 16 and following. Romans chapter 8, notice what you and I are, regardless of our external circumstances. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What are we? We're heirs. You mean I have an inheritance? You sure do. Has nothing to do with how much money you have, though. Has nothing to do with how many riches you have or how much wealth or possessions you have. If you know God, understand God, and follow God, you are an heir of God. You're going to inherit. And he says it's an incorruptible inheritance. True riches are in Christ. They're not in wealth. True riches are found in Christ. So the challenge of being poor, the challenge of not having what others have, is to not give in to temptation. Don't steal. Don't be dishonest. Don't take jobs that maybe will take you away from Christ. Maybe will take you away from services. Take you away from worship. Don't give in to those temptations. That's what he says. That's what we need to be careful about. That's the challenge of poverty. This is a very practical book James has written for us. Yes, poverty can be a challenge. Poverty can be a hardship. If you don't look to God. Now he says, what about the rich brother? Well, the rich brother should glory in what? His humiliation. Well, God still knows our needs. The rich brother needs to be brought down in the sense of understanding that those riches he has in no way gives him an advantage before God. What you possess or don't possess does not in any way bring you favor before God. I mean, God doesn't treat you special or give you an advantage because you have riches. See, the rich brother needs to know that. That doesn't bring you an advantage before God. Many people might think so, but the Bible says it doesn't. So the challenge for the wealthy, the challenge for the Christian, and he's addressing Christians only here, the challenge for the Christian who has possessions is humility and to rely on God. Both the Old and the New Testament stresses this. Psalms 52, verses 6 and 7 are a couple of great verses about this. Psalms 52, verses 6 and 7. It's about how careful we need to be about riches. Psalm 52, verses 6 and 7. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Now, who are they laughing at? Verse 7. Here's the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. That's the one that's in serious trouble. He trusted in his own strength, trusted in his own riches, trusted in his own possessions. That's the one that God laughs at. Because they're not relying on God. They think, well, even the Christian can begin to believe that if they have wealth and possessions and so forth, that somehow they're special. Well, I must be living a very, very righteous life then because God is blessing me. James is telling us here that riches don't bring you an advantage before God. They don't. You don't get to go to the front of the line because you have riches. They don't do that. The challenge of wealth and riches is not forgetting God. And how often does that happen? When people become wealthy, or when they become, when they start to have more riches and more possessions, what often happens? They stop remembering God. And they forget Him. James is warning Christians about that. The lowly should glory in his humiliation. That's what he should glory in. Mark chapter 10. Christ himself refers to this. Mark chapter 10, verse 23 and then following. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Mark 10, verse 23. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. See, they just thought this didn't make sense. So many at that time thought that riches was a way of knowing that you were righteous. And so they were astonished when Jesus said that. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches." Notice what he added there. "Who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? It's for those who trust in riches. Those who trust in them. See, what a challenge that is for people who have wealth or people who have riches or who have possessions to start trusting in them. Or to start believing that they have more than other people because they're more righteous than other people. James says that's a temptation for wealthy people. And James says it's not true. Your wealth or lack of it is not an indication that you have some sort of advantage before God. So he says, don't believe it is. He does tell the rich, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. Wealth is temporary. Riches are temporary. Possessions are temporary. Proverbs 27:24. Riches do not last forever. Riches don't last forever. In Psalm 49, the psalmist gives us some very sound advice about this. Psalm 49, verse 16 and following. Psalm 49, verse 16. "Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." Notice it says descend instead of ascend. That stays here. All of it stays here. And those riches will not take one to heaven. See, riches is not an advantage. And it doesn't mean that God is giving you an advantage. James talks a lot in this book about poverty and wealth, about riches and being poor. It's a topic that obviously was of great concern amongst Christians in the first century. I should have stayed back in Proverbs or in Psalms, but Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Don't set your eyes on something that's not permanent. It says because riches are temporary. He says they just fly away. Just fly away like a bird. Don't trust in them. Riches can bring misery. Just think about those people we talked about. Jesus knew they could. In Luke chapter 6, this is similar to the Sermon on the Mount. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, these are the Beatitudes as Luke records them, but they are different than Matthew's account. So they're not the exact same Beatitudes. Verse 20 of Luke chapter 6, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Then skip down to verse 24. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." In other words, what all you're getting is you're getting in this life. That's it. "Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." If we trust in riches, we're trusting in something that's only temporary, that's only in the here and now. Paul advises us over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about how dangerous that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul writes this, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul says, focus on what's important. He says, if you focus on what you possess, your riches and your wealth and so forth, you're focusing on something that's temporary. It's not something to anchor yourself to. It says you anchor yourself to the things that are eternal. Don't rely on riches. It says you need to rely on God. Poverty and riches both have hardships with them. James reminds us of how brief life is. The very end, verse 11 says, "For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Yes, life is short. Life is very short. And if all we do, whether we're rich or poor, if all we do is think about how we can have more, this is just as much a problem for those in poverty as those who have riches. If that's all we're concerned with in this life, trying to have more, or relying on what we have, being tempted to do something wrong to get more, if that's what we are doing in life, if that's what we're pursuing, if that's our goals in life, James says it's all futile. You'll just die in your pursuits. And that'll be your life. And what a sad ending to a life. And think about those men we started with. Think about how their lives ended. It was all wrapped up in wealth. They had no reliance on God, no reliance on Christ, no reliance on an afterlife. It was all about this life and all about riches and all about wealth. Jesus says what we need to be concerned about is sending treasure on into heaven. That's what we need to do. And that's what James tells us to do as well. Think about things that are eternal. Think about your soul. That's what's going to last forever. Riches don't. Your soul does. Where will you spend eternity? Where's your heart? Where's your soul in this life? Is it anchored in this world or is it anchored in the next? See, those are about decisions we have to make, choices we have to make in this world. Number one, have we given our lives to Christ? Have we experienced the new birth? If not, that's the first thing we need to do. If we have, our lives are still going to be lives filled with struggle, whether we have little or whether we have a lot. But the key is relying on God, relying on His Word. See, those are choices. This morning, I hope you make the right choice. And if you need to come and experience that new birth, you need to be baptized, you need to ask for forgiveness. We urge you to come as David leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.